Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
So we send our kids off to school. This is the way I went off to school. Odds are the way you went off to school as well. And you went off to school, and you, the boys and the girls on the bus, and then in the classes, and then on the playground, and in the lunchroom, and all that stuff. And so, girls and boys being in school all at the same time, which is the norm. But just because it's normal, does that mean it's best? I think we just kind of settle for it, unless you're a homeschool family, like we've been a homeschool family. And even in private Christian schools, the vast majority of private education is going to be co-ed as well. But is that the way we should be doing it? And of course, for those of you that have been friends of the show for a while, for the last several years, really before it even came out of the ground, Iron Academy has been a great partner here locally in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. A phenomenal move of God, discipling young men, because biblical manhood is never an accident. So a very intentional environment designed to educate and disciple young men who are, in case you hadn't noticed, different than young women. So how do you educate them, and how do you direct them? So Iron Academy's really been blessed. Finally, after a couple of years of challenging times just in terms of a physical plant, they have their own school location now. God has just blessed that. So the other side of that conversation, which we're going to start expanding into, is called Academy 31, academy31.org. Same basic idea in terms of a program developed specifically for young women based on their needs, their developmental needs, their maturing process, how they learn. And this is something that for homeschoolers, you know, we're kind of outside the box anyway, but we kind of ram all our kids into the same area at the same time. Between Iron Academy and Academy 31, separating them and directly teaching them, not just academically and what they need there, but socially. And emotionally, and of course, spiritually. And so today we've got, and this isn't Denise's first time on the show, Dr. Denise O'Donohue, who's the director of biblical womanhood at Academy 31, which we're hoping is going to be opening next fall. And also has spent plenty of time as a seminary student and a seminary teacher. Denise, it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. It's great to have you back. And so you're in a very different world now.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you've kind of been in this, kind of the big time academic world, whether it's here at Southeastern where we're broadcasting from, and your own advanced degree in education there and then teaching at the seminary. But then you got connected with our friend Alan Hahn and Iron Academy with the young men with the hopes of doing what God is starting to do now with Academy 31. So what's it been like to kind of go into that environment? We'll talk about these young men first and it being specific to young men and then how that's kind of led you into this focus on young women for Academy 31.
Well, clearly, I knew it was going to be different going in from the outset, but it's been even more different than I could have imagined. I guess I just didn't weigh it quite properly as thinking of going from teaching adult women who signed up to be in my class to teaching young men who might rather be just about anywhere else. So that's been kind of my standing joke lately, because it really is just, it really has been a stark realization that it's quite different.
Yeah.
But having said all that, it has been a blast. It's really been a lot of fun. Young men will keep you on your toes. You're a father of
four kids,
yeah,
two of which
I was going to say, two are young men, right?
Year old man. Yep.
I thought they were two and two. I wasn't sure.
Yep.
But anyway, so you know, and you've lived those differences, so you get it.
Yeah.
I had two daughters. I had a sister. So this world of young men is different for me.
Quite the eye-opener.
Yeah, although the Lord has blessed me with five grandsons, so
wow.
It's not totally foreign.
Right. Yeah. And that you'll get more familiar with it with time, of course.
Sure.
But in terms of the single-sex environment, and we're coming at this, obviously, as followers of Jesus Christ, and understanding God made men and women different, and we're not kowtowing to the left, we're not kowtowing to the political correctness of the world, we're trying to develop young men and women in the most effective way possible, but and being in that environment where it's just young men, did you begin to, did it become obvious to you quickly that, okay, there's something here with this directed non-co-ed environment?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. Almost immediately, you can see the difference. There's a total focus between the young men on each other. And I mean that in the way that they're looking to improve each other. They're looking to encourage one another to be better than they are. And there's not that distraction of who's looking at me, what cute girl's got my attention right now, or anything like that. So that's been a big surprise for me to see just how much of a difference removing that one thing has made in how these young men interact with each other. I think another thing that I've noticed, too, that I really hadn't expected is the young men do really seem free to explore a lot of things that perhaps they might be timid about with young ladies around.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We've got several of our students that enjoy dancing, and so they're part of a dance troupe that will be performing in the Nutcracker coming up. We've got several of them that...
I don't recall ever seeing that in a regular co-ed environment.
No, you wouldn't, because they wouldn't want... That wouldn't be cool. You know, that wouldn't be cool. But these guys, what I see them doing is pursuing things that they have an interest in.
Yeah.
And they don't feel that limitation of who might judge me for what I'm doing. They just enjoy it. And everybody... I mean, I haven't heard one single person... get around, joke around about it. They just cheer them on. That's great.
Yeah. And this isn't, we're not talking about raising kids in a bubble. We're not talking about avoiding socialization. Listen, I heard all that garbage when we were going to start homeschooling about 16 years ago. Oh, you can't shelter your kids. And what about socialization? And I would always say, well, tell me what kind of socialization is going to happen in a room of 25 to 30 10-year-olds and one adult.
Mm-hmm.
Show me in life where that exists.
Exactly.
So we talk about that. But in this case, and a lot of people push back on this idea that somehow we're Pollyanna-ish or something trying to separate this. And you've written a white paper, which is excellent, which I've read, and we'll make that available on Facebook. Talking about these, you really have eight different points that are really important. So we're looking at a very strategic approach, not just to education.
Correct.
Because you have to bury your head in the sand to refuse to accept the fact that young men and young women learn differently.
Correct.
They develop differently, emotionally, mm-hmm. physically, psychologically, and in their learning curve. There's stuff that you discovered in this white paper that I didn't know about in terms of girls with science and math versus boys, and there's a different curve there. And this is one of the big reasons that we homeschool, to be able to tailor the education to the child, which most people would pay big money for that.
Right.
Tailor it to the child, and including the differences between men and women, boys and girls, educationally, spiritually, and emotionally. Why you do that? What's the benefit? What's the big deal? We're going to talk about that with Denise O'Donohue when we come back, talking about Academy31.org. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, tackling a really interesting subject today. And some people will push back on this because it's different. But I think most people, at least the people in this audience, the people that have been listening to the show for a while, because we've had our friends, Alan Hahn and Iron Academy, have been a part of Call to Action Radio for several years now, a school designed specifically to develop biblical manhood. It's for young men, no girls allowed. And so now you also coming alongside, God's bringing Academy 31 out of the ground, academy31.org. If you're here in the Triangle area of North Carolina, you definitely want to check that out if you have young ladies in your house, and teaching them and discipling them and training them differently. We all know that boys and girls are different. And at younger ages, there's some significant differences there. So this isn't a Pollyannish reaction. This is the reality of a co-ed system is not as effective as separating the sexes because they learn differently, they develop differently. And to ignore that is really irresponsible, I think, would be the word that I would choose. But we're here with Denise O'Donohue, who's the director of Biblical Womanhood. And Denise, thank you for forwarding me this white paper. And can I make this available on Facebook?
I think so.
We'll put that out there. Okay, so it's all the research and information that Denise has gleaned and put together as a way of kind of looking at, okay, why would you even want to do this? Why would you want to go down this road? There's eight points here. So me coming at this as a 51-year-old man who's been married for 25 years, who has four kids, two of which are girls and two of which are boys, I can't raise them all the same. We don't teach them the same. No. We don't talk to them the same. It's all different.
Right.
So as you kind of went through this process of discovery, Where were you at in this, in the beginning of this process, just in terms of, hey, Denise, what do you think about having an all-girls school to develop biblical young ladies? Where were you at first? Were you kind of skeptical, or were you?
Not at all. I think God really prepared me to walk down this road in a way that I wasn't even aware of. Part of my role at Southeastern was to counsel students who were in the college and who were in the seminary. And it became apparent to me really quickly that a lot of damage is done in high school and in middle school to young ladies. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought I need to be on the I need to be on the preventative end rather than the corrective end. So when I was approached about this, I was very excited about the possibility. Not sure I was the right person for it, but excited about the possibility, because what I saw happening, and research has backed this up too, is that young women as early as fifth grade can tell you who they want to be and what they want to do when they grow up. And as they go through middle school and high school, they begin to morph to whoever they're with at the moment. Yeah. So if they're with this group of friends, then they're this way. And if they're with another group of friends, then they try to modify their character, their personality to fit that group. And so what the studies show is by the time they've graduated from high school, they don't know who they are. And the truth of the matter is we all have been given an identity by God. Yeah. And that's where we want to start with these young ladies, is to help them be really grounded in who God says they are, so that as they launch out into the world, they've got some firm roots to draw from when all of the other things come against them.
Yeah, and I think that's we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right.
And to not be grounded in who God thinks you are and who he says you are, who he's designed you to be, especially for young women.
Mm-hmm.
This is way worse. I mean, I'll teach 42 students tomorrow. I teach them every Thursday, three different classes that I have, all high school age homeschoolers. And to the young ladies, I always remind them, by the way, when God says love your neighbor as yourself, he never tells you not to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And your identity and your worth was your worth was established on a cross 2,000 years ago. It isn't
That's right.
established by a bunch of 16-year-old idiots.
Oh, thank goodness.
Who don't know
thank
any
the Lord.
Better and will rank you based on what you look like or what your body's mm-hmm. like or how your hair is or how you dress or how you don't dress.
Exactly.
And it's so brave. It's so damaging, mm-hmm. all of that. All right, so I just want to go through these 8 points. So we've got this segment and the next segment. So I'm going to make sure we get these just to begin. And we'll continue this conversation. This isn't going to be the last time Denise is on and as we watch God move and bring Academy 31 out of the ground. But let's just go through these. It's just kind of your main thoughts on each one of these points. We're going to go through 8 of them. Girls need strong role models. So what's up with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can make that argument. Well, they have female teachers in, co-ed schools, so what's the big deal? But what I've observed and seen even with the young men at Iron Academy is not only do they have the role models in the teachers that they sit under, but they become role models themselves. And you really see that played out when we bring new sixth graders in each year. You see those guys that are in seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, right on up the line, coming alongside them and being that role model for them. And it gives them a high bar to shoot for.
As opposed to things that they see on Instagram or Facebook.
Exactly. Or television, even.
Any of that stuff.
Television especially runs down male figures in a big way.
Yeah. And then, so here's the next one. Girls can express themselves freely without fear. So this is interesting because this happens to guys, too. If you're in a classroom, co-ed, mm-hmm. you're going to hold back some things or you're going to express some things perhaps more strongly because you know you have an audience of the opposite sex.
Exactly. And that's really what this point is all about. You don't have to worry about being necessarily judged by the opposite sex about what you're saying or what you're thinking. Or if you have a question, being ashamed to ask your question because you certainly don't want to be looked at by the opposite sex of somebody who is stupid or, just asking really dumb stuff. So in this environment where you just have a single sex, this is true for young men and young women, they have that freedom that they're not going to be judged and perhaps lose rank, whatever, with their peer group.
Yeah, one of the resources you quoted here in the white paper, if a girl is pretty and she attends a co-ed school, then her self-esteem is high. If she's not pretty, her self-esteem is low. At the girls' school, by contrast, these researchers found that self-esteem was related to behavior more than appearance. What you do and how you behave counts for more than how you look. And to me, as a father with two young daughters, I mean, that's a huge deal because I've seen them struggle with what the world's telling them and defining their worth and who they are mm-hmm. simply based on how they look.
Yeah, exactly. Based on how they look, where their clothes come from, even, you know.
Yeah, what brand?
I mean, it might be cute, but if it came from Walmart, that's not so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is a really important thing just to remove that barrier so that that doesn't exist. And, of course, one of the ways that we do it is not unique. School uniforms goes a long way in helping with that outward appearance. But we want the thing that draws people to the students that draw – the thing that draws the students to each other is their character. So we want to get past what that outward appearance is.
Yeah, past the – because God looks at the intent of the heart. Mm-hmm. He looks right through your exterior junk.
That's right.
And which is why Jesus was raising the bar on everybody. Mm-hmm. You've heard it said – you know, and then he goes, hey, you should not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, he raises the bar, goes to the heart.
Exactly.
If you even look after a woman mm-hmm. lustfully, you've committed adultery. And people go, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. But I didn't touch her. But I watch porn 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, yeah, you got a heart problem. Got
to explain that one.
You can't fool God. All right, girls occupy every role. So yeah, this is an interesting one.
This one was one that was really exciting to me because I hadn't really thought about it. I, like most people in my generation, went to a co-ed school, never really thought about it. But there's going to be places in school leadership, athletic teams, whatever, where people will hold back because they assume that the opposite sex is going to be better at it. And so with this, when you have a single gender environment, then all young men or all young women are going to fill those roles. So they're going to be the smartest kid in the math class. They're going to be the school president. They're going to be the leader of the debate team. They're going to be the math genius. You know, it's all going to be one gender. And so you don't have that barrier to encouraging young people to go after that.
Which is empowering, which is not, you know, that's not a guarantee that you're going to have that when you go to college or when you get out into the workforce.
No.
But to be able to explore and to be able to achieve those things.
Right. Well, it gives confidence. It builds that confidence.
Which is incredibly important as we move into this crazy world that we're at. When we come back, four or five more points. We're talking to Denise O'Donohue, Academy 31 here in Raleigh, academy31.org. We'll be right back.
I got a message, I got a song, can I get a witness, tell me what's going on.
Welcome back, it's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about a fascinating subject that I'm excited about today. We've talked about a school specifically for young men to develop them biblically as well as mentally and physically. That's, of course, Iron Academy here in Raleigh, North Carolina, with our good friend Alan Hahn. But God's been cooking up something else with Iron Academy, specifically for the young women. It's called Academy 31, academy31.org, pushing towards opening, what, next fall? Is that right?
Yes, we're beginning enrollment now for 2018, fall of 2018.
Super exciting. And this whole notion of a single-sex education, for a lot of us, we go, well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. But other people are like, no. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But we approach life like this. It's not one size fits all. You don't put a square peg in a round hole. And so there's a lot of logic to this. But especially with young women, there's so many lies that come at them from the culture and from their own flesh and from the opposite sex. So especially in the teen years, you remove the opposite sex. You literally are removing about half the challenges mm-hmm. that goes along with all that peer pressure. And what do they think of me? And guys need to be, more manly in order to be to come off well to the girls. And the girls have to look better and be cuter and wear the right clothes and to gain the attention of the guys. You got to get all that flesh garbage out of there so that we can actually, number one, train them in being biblical young men and women. And number two, teach them effectively. And so they get a good education. So we're going through these 8 points. I'm going to put this white paper that Denise has researched and written, really a kind of a summary of the 8 major points as to why this is a great idea, why this needs to happen. We're working our way through them. We talked about girls needing strong role models. They can express themselves freely without fear. They occupy every role. All leadership roles, the girls are going to play those parts all the way across the board. Number four, most girls will perform better and achieve more. And this is just an academic reality, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I drew strongly from the National Association for Single-Sex Public Schools, and their statistics is what drives this. And so you can read through the white paper and see this. But basically, there's just a lot of areas where you see that they do better. They have considerably higher test scores on a general basis. They perform better academically in their abilities. They also show improvement in both math and science performance, which is kind of a topic that we can touch on a little bit later.
There, right?
Yes, generally lag. Right, that comes up in another point. But anyway, just some of the performance increases that they found through their research just by limiting it to a single gender education. That was the single, differentiator.
Yeah.
And then in their studies.
And this other point, point number five that we've talked about, but any other thoughts on this? Number five, distraction from the opposite sex is removed, which, damned if I do, is a good idea, especially for teenagers.
No kidding. Well, I think just the one other thing that I would bring out in this that I hadn't thought of, and as I did the research, I mean, we think about the distraction from attraction, but one of the things that came out in this is the distraction from sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. And that may be very subtle or it may be very blatant. But when you don't have the guys in the picture, that is not a distraction either, the sexual harassment part of it.
Yeah, and we're all pretty in tune with that right now as that's breaking across the country.
No
in
kidding.
All corners, right, left, Washington, D.C., or Hollywood, it's all over the place. And that's a big deal. And I remember being a scumbag little lost guy in high school. And I tell you what, Denise, I did not treat women well at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad. And that's definitely one of those things you have to repent from. Number six, girls learn differently than boys. And we were kind of leading into this. And the research is
well, it's overwhelming. Yeah, you can't ignore that. But a couple of things that I thought were really interesting about it was, you know, girls are very relational. And so as you teach them, they want to hear the story behind the story. And guys aren't like that.
No.
It's just like, okay, what's the next thing? Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But girls are very relational. So, for example, the example I use in here is you're teaching a group of students to play a particular piece of music. Well, girls would be very interested in why did he write this and what was going on in his family at the time and what was the inspiration behind this. And guys just say, okay, we've got this. Let's move
next.
On. Right, right, exactly. So I thought that was pretty interesting to bring that out as far
math
as
math and science.
Math and science is a huge one. So
this is a cold, hard fact.
It is. It is. But here's what happens. Generally, girls tend to think that girls as a gender are not good at math and science. There's been some recent research that's been done with some very sophisticated brain analysis technology that has shown that actually what's going on is that girls just lag behind in when that part of their brain develops. So it's not that they can't do it.
Yeah.
They're just in a different sequential order from guys. But you can look at the same thing with guys and fine motor skills. I could just show you two or three papers from my classroom and you could see handwriting is a real challenge for the guys. And girls have this beautiful handwriting.
Mine's basically hieroglyphics in all caps.
But they have developed, their sequence of developing fine motor skills comes quicker. Whereas with guys, the math and science comes quicker. Eventually, they catch up with each other.
Yeah. We're talking to Denise, Dr. Denise O'Donohue. She's the director of Biblical Womanhood, Academy 31, which is starting enrollment now. And by the way, the first parent information meeting is coming up here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And if you're sitting there going, I don't live in Raleigh, Steve, this doesn't matter. Yes, it does, because how we educate our children matters no matter where you live. And giving serious consideration to single-sex education, especially if you're trying to drive them towards biblical manhood or biblical womanhood, is a big deal. So the first family information meeting here in Raleigh tomorrow night, Thursday night, at 6:30 p.m., I believe. And the school's location is in North Raleigh. Go to academy31.org if you have any daughters, really. But what age? Like, who should be going?
Rising sixth graders, seventh graders, ninth graders is our focus.
So all the sixth through ninth grade. Mm-hmm. So academy31.org, you'll see the information there. We were talking about girls learning differently than boys. And then the last 2 points, number seven, girls grow at a different pace, which you think we would understand.
Yeah,
that.
I'm not sure there's a lot more explaining I can do to that if you haven't noticed it.
Yeah.
it's just pretty obvious.
Yeah, well, there's some of the research realizing the developmental differences in girls and boys enables parents to clearly see the case for a single-gender school. Quote, single-sex schools allow for classes in which the learners are more similar to one another in their stages of physical, mental, and emotional development, which means you can teach one basic way to that specific group, as opposed to a general approach to a classroom full of boys and girls who all learn differently anyway.
That's right.
And it's back to that one size fits all thing. Okay, number eight, girls thrive on personal relationships. I'm like, this one's a yawner to me, Denise.
What?
Personal relationships.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. But that's the point.
That is exactly the point. And that's one of the things that's so important. And we tend to overlook that a lot of times in realizing just how important that is. That gives a young woman a sense of who she is in the relationships. She develops her ideas about who she is in the way that she interacts, first of all, with her mom and her dad and her siblings, but then those that are outside of her family, and it, you know, it just kind of branches on out. One of the things that I think has really changed over the last few years with the advent of social media is just the lack of true relationships. You might have 1,000 Facebook friends, but are they really friends? Right. Do they know you, and do you know them? And what we're finding and what the research is showing is that a lot of relationships nowadays are strictly digital relationships. So there's not any true friendship. And then these people are being launched out into the real world, where they have to have a conversation and be able to interact with people. And so we're really doing a disservice there. But that's across the board. But when you think about young ladies, it's so much more important, because that's just how God designed them to be, the nurturing, relational type of humans.
Yeah. And again, to ignore the differences is to ignore reality.
Yes, it
is. So if you're a conservative, run around and go, hey, we got to deal with truth. Well, this is what we're doing. When we're talking about Iron Academy for young men and Academy 31 for young women, we're dealing with the reality that God made us differently, developmentally, emotionally, and how we're educated. And to not lean into that and deal with that reality is talk about Pollyanna-ish. That's thinking one size fits all, and it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
One of the things I love, this is towards the end of the white paper, which really kind of go back into the Academy 31 honor code. There's Iron Academy has an honor code. Academy 31 honor code, feminine and free in Christ, I choose to grow wise, resourceful, kind, and capable. And you're a mature Christian woman, highly educated, Denise. You teach young women out here at the seminary. Just back to just you personally. How do you feel about the future of this and your own excitement level and the possibilities of what God can do through an organization like Academy 31?
I'm extremely hopeful, and I'm extremely excited about it. And it goes right back to what I think we started the broadcast with, is just talking about the work that I've done over the last 8 years, trying to come back in and repair the damage that's been done to women's identity.
Because what age young women have you been teaching?
College and seminary.
Yeah, so a college and advanced degree.
Yes.
And you see the fruit, the bitter fruit that's come off that tree of education is the way we've always done it.
Yeah, and there's girls that are, you know, because of the pressure that they've had in a co-ed environment, many of them have made mistakes sexually that they're trying to recover from. And so just trying to, I really believe that it comes down to them knowing who God has made them to be.
Yeah.
That's not going to say people aren't going to mess up. We're not perfect. We're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. We're all going to mess up. But if you have a really solid sense of who you are, that God created you to be, then you're not going to bend and be blown around by other people's opinions nearly as easily.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be established in the truth of what God says about who you are.
That's right. And that's what we want to be about.
Yeah. And that's what you want to be about. Academy 31, academy31.org. Again, if you're here in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, the very first family information tonight, information meeting is tomorrow night, Thursday, November 16th at 6:30. Go to academy31.org. Rising 6th, 7th, or 8th grader. Great to hear this story. Back at Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Going to turn the corner here and talk to our good friend David Fisher with a Money Monday update. And yes, I know it's not Monday. So Monday, we were at the Museum of the Bible up in Washington, D.C., museumofthebible.org. And how soon should you get up there? As soon as humanly possible. So you got to get to the Museum of the Bible. It will absolutely blow you away. It's the nicest museum I've ever been in, most high-tech museum I've ever been in, and it's smack dab in the middle of our nation's capital. God is going to do an awesome thing through this. Opens officially to the public. The ribbon cuttings on Friday, opens officially to the public this Saturday, November 18th, and right there in Washington, D.C. So you've got to go online, though, museumofthebible.org, because for the next couple months, you need to sign up for like what time you're going to go, so that you can make sure you're going to be able to get your tickets when you get there and get in. And then we're going to do a special we'll take a group up there next spring, probably around March sometime, of Sacred Cow Killers. So if you want to join us as a Sacred Cow Killer, just go to the website, c2atoday.com. Those are our monthly donors. We just started that program a couple weeks ago, so you could join there. We're going to take a bus or two up of Sacred Cow Killers, and we'll get more of a kind of a personal tour of the museum. And we're also going to set up a thing with my buddy Mike Johnson, who's a congressman, to tour over at the Capitol. So that'll be kind of a 2-day thing. We're going to do that. But you want to get there as soon as possible. Then, of course, we were just talking to Denise O'Donohue who's the director of Biblical Womanhood. Academy31.org is their website. Again, their first family information meeting here in the Raleigh area. And again, this is a topic that we should be talking about everywhere, regardless of where you live, even though Academy 31 is going to be here in Raleigh, North Carolina. The value of a single-sex education environment, especially when you're trying to develop biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. So if you're here in the area and if you're interested, rising 6th, 7th, or 9th grader, their first family information is tomorrow night. Academy31.org. But back to our good friend David Fisher for a Monday Monday update. And David, you called in yesterday, and that was a crazy, just amazing story that you walked into the middle of yesterday. But I appreciate your patience and being able to reschedule to today. How are you?
I'm doing great. No, absolutely. We got to be flexible and we got to move with the Holy Spirit. And I sense that. And I want to give you the liberty to do whatever you need to do on your program. And my news today is rather shocking, and I didn't want to go a different route. What the theme was yesterday.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Well, I appreciate your flexibility and, of course, your friendship and helping us and educating us as we do every week with you. And David Fisher, of course, with his team at Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website for great information and education. Or you can always give them a call at 844-879-8882. Well, I know we're going to start with a biblical application first, and then we'll dive into kind of the big stories you want to hit.
Yeah, we get into the book of Leviticus, and it says, you shall have just balances, just weights, just ephah, and just hin, and I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. You know, I did this for a few reasons. Talking about our personal life, you know, we have to be balanced people in our finances, in the way we approach the world. If we become so spiritual, we're no earthly good. You know, then the world can't relate to us. But if we water down the gospel, then we're not godly enough to be that light and salt to the earth. When it comes to our government and entities within our government, you know, our country's walked away from biblical money, which was based upon the book of Leviticus, how the sundry laws, and that's what really defined what Congress used back in our Constitution. And we wouldn't have the problems financially we have today if we didn't have our money based upon just weights and measures, and epom is measuring liquids, and hin in the Bible is talking about solids. So God covers all bases in our lives, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, being just weights and measures as people, and also it covers everything in our government and how we should operate. And you'll see today, in our limited time, we'll talk about more in the future, that we're really out of balance in some areas.
Oh, man, to say the least. And obviously the numbers are right there to prove that. So on the international stage, we've talked a lot about Saudi Arabia and Aramco and this organization that they're launching an initial public offering next year. So give us an update on that, because that's going to rock the whole world as they move forward.
I have a newsletter specifically about that in depth, but the new news that came out since last week, instead of $100 billion that Aramco Saudi Arabia wants to raise, and they're confirming it's going to be towards the second half of next year, is the finance minister, Khalaa Al-Falah. I don't know if I pronounce his name improper. I apologize if so. But they're now wanting to raise $300 billion, and they want to diversify their country, specifically not just being solely reliant upon oil and gas. So it's a bigger deal than what we thought monetarily-wise, and there's lots of countries getting involved. They're trying to now, even Toronto is throwing their hat in the ring, trying to launch it out of Toronto. New York has their hat, London, and obviously Hong Kong, which is China, trying to get that IPO launched through their country. And President Trump tweeted saying this would be really good for America. Right. So he understands the significance of this.
Yeah, and again, for people that aren't familiar with it, what does Aramco do and why does it matter?
Aramco is the largest oil producer of the world. Oil dropped from over $100 a barrel down into the 30s a few years ago. So they went into a massive recession, so they got to raise money. Aramco's biggest client is China. China's been setting up, backing, getting ready to launch a gold-backed currency. They're not actually coming out and saying that, but I think I'm making a prediction. That's what's going to come next, Steve, unfortunately. But they are announcing that they can buy and sell oil through their infrastructure, in terms of their currency called the yuan, which they're going to launch in 6 weeks from now, which will compete against the U.S. dollar, and countries can convert that yuan into gold, which is the same thing that we did in 1944 through the Bretton Woods Agreement.
Yeah,
so it's going to compete.
The U.S. dollar's been the world reserve currency for years, and then all of a sudden now we've got a competitor, and the competitor is China, and China really in league with Saudi Arabia. That's why this is such a massive thing. It's not just a Middle Eastern thing. This is going to have worldwide implications. What about Venezuela? They're obviously having a lot of financial trouble as well.
Lots of problem. They defaulted the other day on their bonds, $196 billion. They missed 5 debt payments. They had the money to do it because they got about $9 billion in their account. They just chose not to make payment, $349 million. More than $60 billion of it is held in bondholders. And yes, 2 days ago, Venezuelan bonds rose before they defaulted to 132%. So they're creating the incentive to have you own it, and the next day they defaulted. So it's a big mess. To put into perspective, at the beginning of this year, Steve, $1 was worth 3,200 bolivars. That's their currency. Now $1 is worth 55,200 bolivars. The IMF predicts that this year inflation will hit 650%, and next year 2,300% in 2018. So proving that socialism doesn't work.
Yeah, doesn't work. It never has, and it never will. Last week, obviously, at the end of the week, there was the market sold off. What was the deal with that?
Well, it's mostly GE and also President Trump's tax bill. Excuse me, in reference to GE, their stocks dropped 50% over that much year to date. We're down in the 2012 levels. They also announced that they're going to cut dividends by 50%. They were paying 24 cents per share. Now they're only going to pay 12 cents. This is John Flannery, the chairman and chief executive, made that announcement. They're trying to raise cash, $6 to $7 billion, and get restructured to get on the right path. So they're definitely going the wrong direction right now.
Yeah, and that's why that had such an impact. So one thing, you mentioned the tax bill and the budget and all the talks up on Capitol Hill, but it seems like we're getting kind of two different stories about IRAs and 401ks. Trump saying one thing, Congress is saying another. So what's the actual deal there?
Trump is saying we're not going to touch IRAs or 401ks, and the Senate is saying we're going to mess with them. And the Senate is the one that actually, unless President Trump vetoes this thing, and I don't think he's going to, but the one piece of this is messing with 401ks. They're changing the contributions. You can't do the catch-up anymore. This was released by Senator Orrin Hatch here a few days ago. They're changing that in 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and simple IRAs, but not touching traditional IRAs in reference to the catch-up. But they are changing some things about employer contribution and wages. People making over $500,000 a year would not be able to make a catch-up in any of it. So it's changing. They're also adding, this is a good thing, I like this, they're adding a 10% early withdrawal to government employees, which they didn't have before. You and I have always had it.
Talk about equal weights and measures. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. So they're finally putting on the other side of their side of the fence what they've been putting on our side of the fence in reference to that.
Yeah, they only make us drink the Kool-Aid. They don't have to drink it themselves. So the sooner that changes, the better. Well, last week you were talking about what's going on in the bond market. And this week, the government, now we're hearing this phrase again that we have talked about for a year and a half, bailing out. So what's the government bailing out this time with the money that they don't even have?
I'm going to go say, as far as this, they're doing a Ponzi scheme by all definition. And once I describe it, if we have enough time today, we'll do it next week also. So in 1975, Steve, the government created a thing called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is the entity of the government that bails out pensions when they go underwater. And to put it into perspective, it did work until 2005 when they were $23 million in debt. Last year, they were $76 billion in debt.
Geez.
But they created another entity to bail out that. The government is doing that through a bill. The government's bailing out the bailouts, and they're putting this all on back of the taxpayer. So it's we'll talk more about it next week.
Yeah, let's make sure we talk more about that on Monday, because a Ponzi scheme is the exact right phrase when you're borrowing one person to satisfy somebody else's debt. And it's just a shell game, and that's the federal government doing that with our money, spending or borrowing 40 cents on every dollar they spend. And they're just doubling down on all this stuff, which is completely untenable. So let's make sure we revisit that again next week. How can people find out more information, David?
You can call our company at 844-879-8882 or go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
All right, excellent. Thanks, buddy. As always, God bless you, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you in America.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. And friends, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon tomorrow.